morning, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining our second quarter 2016 results presentation conference call. From GB Auto, we have Dr. Raouf Gabour, CEO, and Mr. Abbas El-Sayed, our Group Finance Director, presenting second quarter 2016 results. I will hand over to Dr. Gabour for his presentation, then we will have a Q&A session. Dr. Gabour, please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining our second quarter results call. With me here today is Abbas El-Sayed, our Group Finance Director. As usual, I'll walk you through our performance in the quarter and talk briefly about our outlook on the second half of the year. Then hand the call over to Abbas to walk for a deeper dive into our financials. We'll then open the floor to your questions. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm obviously very pleased with our performance in the quarter. The challenges our markets face are clear, whether they are geopolitical in Iraq or macro in Egypt, where the foreign exchange crunch hasn't disappeared and where inflation has been running at a seven-year high in the last 2 months. Despite this, we delivered our best operational and financial performance since the events of January 2011, with fantastic growth in both our top line and margins. We reported nearly 23% top-line growth in the second quarter and a 1.5 times increase in our bottom line. Our market share year-to-date is our best ever at 36%. That includes a record April where nearly one in every two passenger cars sold in Egypt was a GB Auto vehicle. Egypt passenger cars were clearly the hero of the quarter. It accounted for about 53% of our total revenue and grew at a clip north of 30%. Our decision to deploy all available liquidity to support our operations saw us capture a 38% share for the second quarter, preserving our volumes in a declining market as we launched new models and passed on price rises to the market that defended our margins. At the end of the day, it came down to the simple fact that we had stock on hand to meet demand across the consumer spectrum, while our competitors didn't. I'm also very pleased about our Egyptian financing and tires business. Financing revenues were up 92% and continued to be a key contributor to our bottom line. And tires grew 80%. Commercial vehicles also did well, growing its revenues and margins as we continue to record good demand for buses and gain market share in trucks. And our tire business has outperformed our expectations at both the top and bottom line. We're seeing results coming from the growth of our brand and product portfolio and our premium distribution channels. Obviously, we would have liked to have done better with motorcycles and three-wheelers, but the reality is that price rises weighed down on volumes. We made a conscious decision here to limit the pass-through of devaluation and are aware that the segment will probably remain price-sensitive for some time to come. As you may have noticed while reviewing our results, we decided this quarter to separate out our Egyptian after-sales figures and our regional operations. We think this gives our investors more clarity on some of the fruits of our growth strategy in the past 5 years. It should also give you a sense of how strong our performance is in Egypt, our home market. Our high margin after sales business is thriving with double-digit revenue growth filtering down the income statement to a rising gross margins as we continue to make good use of our expanded national network of after sales. Investment in passenger cars from our TKD facilities to the addition of new brands to our portfolio are also driving sales. Challenges definitely remain on the regional front, where our results have been weighed down by the challenging situation in Iraq and Algeria. Throughout this, we've been very conscious about keeping SG&A spending in check to ensure that our improved sales and margins have trickled down to the income statement to our bottom line. We will maintain a careful eye on cost discipline as we go forward. Egyptian sales remain strong in July, and we see signs that August will be a good month too. That said, September will be a challenge. Back-to-school season is always a slow time for automotive sales, and as was the case last year, we'll have Eid al-Adha fall in September. And the way the calendar looks set to work this year, the feast will dominate most of the week of 11th of September. This comes at a time when inflation is running at a 7-year high, as I mentioned earlier. Looking ahead, there is downside risk to consumer sentiment from both continued high inflation and from the ongoing foreign exchange crunch. The announcement on Thursday that we have reached a staff-level agreement with the IMF for a $12 billion 3-year facility will help. But this comes with it a short to medium-term period of pain and adjustment, particularly given that devaluation of the Egyptian pound is a requirement of the loan. Regardless of when it happens, in September or at year's end, we see devaluation resulting in a challenging quarter as consumer adapts. We expect that will be followed by a multi-week or multi-month period in which the market returns. Going forward, we are also looking for news on the automotive directive, which should give our CKD models an advantage similar to or greater than that now enjoyed by European Union, Turkish, and Moroccan models. We are also pressing ahead with our motorcycle and three-wheeler manufacturing project. We have finalized our technical assistance agreements with Bajaj, which will provide engineering data and technical know-how and expertise as we begin manufacture of the Boxer 150 and the auto rickshaw models. We are about to begin work on our component manufacturing hangars and are purchasing machinery and equipment for the welding and painting shops. And as we noted, we are reassessing our strategy for our tire project in light of feedback from OEMs and new opportunities that we are now evaluating. We are committed to growing the tire line of business in Egypt and regionally with the aim of increasing our supply of tires and expanding our portfolio of brands. Finally, we are obviously watchful for signs that Iraq and Algeria could turn the corner. But I would again note that our performance in these markets are very much governed by local forces out of our direct control. Ladies and gentlemen, the second quarter shows exactly what we are made of as a company. We have the ability to make tough, decisive calls, such as our decision to deploy all available liquidity to support sales when our competitors had no stock. We have the right portfolio of brands at the right prices and fully diversified business that is growing up the value chain to include more manufacturing. The months ahead will continue to be challenging for Egypt in general and for our market in specific. And yet I'm optimistic that as the economy stabilizes following the economic and forex market reforms that are now coming, our home market will be stronger than ever. There has never been a better time to bet on the power of the Arab world's largest consumer market. With that, I'll turn the call over to Abbas to walk you through highlights of our financial performance. Abbas, please.
Thank you, Dr. Raouf. In the second quarter of 2016, GB Auto saw total sale revenue increased by 22.6% year-over-year and 34.4% quarter-over-quarter, as the company continued to deliver strong performance due to the availability of stocks, which were replenished in the previous quarter. GB Auto always strives to maintain a high level of operational power in order to increase its inventory level, allowing us to meet all requirements and cater to the market's healthy demand for our products. Despite relatively flat sales in the second quarter 2016, our gross profit margin is an indicator of strong year-over-year growth, coming in at 14.4% in the second quarter 2016 versus 12.1% in the second quarter 2015, mainly because GB Auto continues to effectively use its pricing power. Additionally, our operating profit increased by 303 basis points compared to second quarter 2015, and our net profit showed its strongest quarter since the year 2011 uprising, with a 3.2% net profit margin, an increase of 106 basis points year over year. GB Auto also continued to report positive minority interest in the second quarter 2016, and it is important to point out here that there is a significant drop on both a year-over-year and quarter-over-quarter basis, mainly due to improved conditions for GB Volo, as well as management's ongoing drive to reduce fixed costs, which continues to reflect in improved results. On the cash front, the company continued to use any rapidly generated cash to build its inventory under very tough foreign currency conditions, which resulted in negative cash flow from operation. Management believes this to be a strategic move meant to position GB Auto as a supplier of choice for consumers wishing to purchase any type of vehicle. Consequently, GB Auto's market share climbed from 27.9% in April 2015 to a historical high 45% in April 2016. This is a clear sign of the success of the strategy implemented by management in the previous period. And this operational hedge we developed helped us to record one of its best quarters in terms of profitability. The group's net debt stood at 5.8 billion EGB, an increase of 700 million EGB compared to first quarter 2016. Net debt to equity was maintained at 1.38 times and at June 13, 2016 from 1.25 times at the end of March 2016. Total net climbed to 6.7 billion at the close of the quarter and includes 2 billion EGB of financing business debt as we continue to expand our and grow our operation. The figure also includes a foreign currency exposure equivalent to 695.2 million EGB, which has decreased from 804.3 million EGB compared to first quarter 2016. Overall, GB Auto is in a very strong position in the market compared to peers, since we have continued with our strong push to replenish inventory levels, meet market demand, and utilize our pricing power successfully despite natural inflation. That concludes my presentation for today. Ladies and gentlemen, the floor is now open to your questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question at that time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Please make sure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, please press star 1 if you wish to ask a question. There is currently no question over the phone, sir.
Wait. Would you just ask them again, maybe?
Of course. Ladies and gentlemen, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad if you wish to ask a question. We have our first question from Mehdi Kaoukabi from Duet Group. Please go ahead. The line is open.
Hello. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for your presentation, and congrats on a very good set of results considering the situation in Egypt, especially for your business line. I have a couple of questions. I don't want to take too much of your time, but let me run you quickly through them. So my first question is the affordability. I mean, we've seen that one of the reasons you kept on growing your top line is the increase in prices. So do you see any affordability problems going into the rest of the year, especially with the cut of subsidies and such in Egypt? The second question is maybe just to give us a little bit of color in terms of how are you sourcing foreign currency at the moment, and maybe if you could be a little bit more specific when you talk about using any liquidity you can. Are you using any dollars that you had from previous rights issues and such? And my third question has to do with your cash flow cycle. I mean, I understand you need to invest in inventory, but It has been negative for quite some time now. So I guess my question is, what are the conditions or that would make it turn positive, I guess. And I guess that's it for now. Thank you very much.
In terms of affordability, yes, definitely we started feeling affordability issue in business lines like two- and three-wheelers. We could not pass through the devaluation to the consumer in full, and that's why the gross margins have been affected. In passenger cars, I did not feel affordability issues until the foreign exchange was at 11.50 or 12 pounds. Definitely beyond 12 pounds, especially if combined with reducing subsidy levels on electricity and other services, we should expect at some point to start suffering or start feeling affordability issues for passenger cars as well. But as things go in this market, the more devaluation you have, people are considering real estate and cars as a natural hedge against devaluation. So the more wealthy people would hedge the currency through buying real estate, the less wealthy will do it through buying a car. So as a matter of fact, during the last few months, when the devaluation happened from almost 8 pounds to 12.5 pounds, we have seen the demand on our products actually grow. Until when, I can't really foresee, but I, as I told you, I expect above the 12 pounds, adding the impact of subsidy level reduction, we should at some point expect some affordability issue. What was your second question?
Yeah, my second question, I guess, had with the had to do with the cash flow. I guess sorry, the USD, the sourcing of the dollars. How you could explain to us right now how are you sourcing dollars and such?
Our rights issue was mostly in Egyptian pounds, majority. I would say more than two thirds was in Egyptian pounds. Maybe one third was in foreign currency. We felt that there was an opportunity in the market. We had a delay in our tire manufacturing product, and we decided to deploy the cash in that to capture that opportunity. Actually, yes, we have used some of the proceeds.
Sorry, Mr. Gabor, can you remind me how much was that amount from the right issue?
I don't remember the exact amount. I think it was $330 million. At the time, it was about a bit less than 8, which means 240 out of 960. So
okay.
Less than one-third or about 25% was in foreign currency. So, yes, we have deployed all our financial resources to capture the opportunity, and we have proven success because we have made well using that. Regarding cash flow, currently we have, of course, we have increased our stock level because of many reasons. We were out of stock, as you remember, during the last quarter of this year and almost through the first quarter of this year. Now we are fully stocked in across all business lines with products which are very saleable in the market. So that definitely affected the cash flow. In the meantime, we have added a very important line of business, which was Cherry, which was non-existent in the first quarter, and we have proved to be doing very well. Currently, I think that we are selling about 800 units per month, and it's acquiring a very significant market share. So cash flow, it was natural to see this reversal, but I expect going forward it will it will be in far enhanced.
Okay. 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 Actually, if you allow me, I just have an additional question that I forgot to ask you. Is the structure of your debt and the cost of your debt and the structure in terms of any foreign currency debt that you have versus local currency? That's what I mean by structure.
Abed, can you please? The portion of foreign currency debt is about 10 or 12% of the total debt, because it's about 695 million out of
6.7 billion.
So it's about 10%, and we are, as you have seen, quarter on quarter, we are reducing it as much as we can. The structure of the debt is basically
short term. The structure of the debt, as well as there is a long term, and this has been presented in the financial statement. You can see the long and short term.
The long term debt is basically related to finance business, because both the consumer finance and the financial leasing businesses are lending over a period of 5 years and sometimes up to 7 years. So that's the, basically the long-term debt. The short, and it's about 2 billion,
yes.
2 billion Egyptian pounds. The short-term debt is the balance, and it is basically to finance the import and the import of our inventory. Basically.
That's very clear. So the vehicles, actually cars and three-wheelers, these you use only short-term debt to finance working capital, I guess. And all of the long-term debt is not really, I mean, it's kind of a debt, but basically it's part of the
long-term
finance.
Long-term debt is basically finance business.
Okay. Well, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1. We have a next question from Adel Esmarthy from Arab African Investment Bank. Please go ahead. The line is open.
Okay. Hi, everyone. Thanks for holding the call. Just a quick question. Maybe I missed it. Can you tell us the source of your foreign currency, or if all parallel market, or some from banks as well? And if there's any update on the automotive industry strategy from your side or the government side?
you mean the sourcing of foreign currency?
Exactly.
Sourcing of foreign currency, unfortunately, banks are not allocating. I'm talking about this quarter, the last quarter. Banks are not almost non-existent, very small. Less than 5% maybe. Basically, it's all from the market. The other question was?
If you can give us an update about the automotive industry strategy.
Automotive directive or automotive manufacturing strategy
has been
approved by the cabinet on the 12th of July, I think. It went to the legal people in Ministry of Justice. It came back to the cabinet. It went to the president's office, and I expect it to be sent to the parliament any day within the coming few days. Having said that, I think that the parliament has a list of priorities. Starting with the VAT and all the laws which should be passed to guarantee the IMF loan
to happen. So I think it will, even if it goes to the parliament this month, I don't think it will be discussed in the parliament before the next quarter. So
okay,
I expect it to be ratified by the parliament anytime Q4 this year or latest Q1 next year.
Okay, thank you very much. And if I can ask a very final question about your current inventory in terms of the PC, for the passenger cars, how many months does it cover currently?
We have to differentiate between fully imported cars and locally assembled cars. For fully imported cars, we are actually working hand to mouth. So whatever goods I receive this month are sold this month. For locally assembled cars, we, for strategic reasons, are building stock. Because some of the models we are assembling are not going to be available, or supply will not be available from this year end, and we will have to bridge a gap of production in our facilities until the successor model is ready later during 2017. So majority of the stock you see in passenger cars today is CKD, and it's built for that strategic reason.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our next question is from Michel Salamé from Arkham Capital. Please go ahead. The line is open.
Hi, everyone, and thank you for the call. I just have a question with regards to the VAT tax. If you can shed some color on that, how will that affect Rabur's operations, and will you be able to increase prices even further if the VAT law is passed?
In terms of passenger cars, there will be zero change, because today we pay 15% sales tax, and in the VAT it's going to be actually 14%, not 15%. So there will be no price increase there. In commercial vehicles, we are currently paying 10% VAT, except for tourism coaches, 10% sales tax, except for tourism coaches where we pay 12%. This will become 14%. I do not think that this is going to be affecting the business, especially putting in consideration that it's going to be applied to all. So a 4% price increase will not harm the market.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question is from Amal Racheb from GB Auto. Please go ahead. The line is open.
Yes?
Amal Racheb?
Amal.
The line is open. It seems that the participant stepped away. Please, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you can press star 1 on your telephone keypad. There is no further question over the phone, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much, and I hope that we'll have even better news in for this quarter. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that will conclude today's conference call. Thank you very much for your participation. You may now disconnect.